I've been debating. Okay, I'll say it. If you didn't know, Mike's engaged. So yeah, so we're looking at a new baby and a new daughter-in-law this year. So that's not bad. That's not bad. So no, the baby is with Allie and Brooks, my married daughter. Yeah, the baby's due in September. Baby's doing well. And then they're looking. I probably shouldn't have said anything because they haven't told us a date yet. But we're looking October, hopefully later October, for that. So, so much for camping trips this week, this year. But that's okay. Hey, we're in this series. We got today and next week on the name of love, and I'll probably mention it again. But we've been praying. We've been encouraging people to invite their friends or family to Easter. In the back, we have a card. It's like a half sheet card, which is something if you want to hand out, kind of as a something to invite friends. But the card was printed for all three of our Zion campuses, and so there's no address on it. So there's a little sticky return address on there, and you can put that on there if you're just looking for something to hand someone to invite them. But been hearing stories of people being able to do that, and we'll see. We'll see what God does as they come. For many people, it's the only time of the year or Christmas that they receive the gospel or hear the gospel. So, did you ever hear the expression where someone says, look, that's not my problem? In fact, there's a Polish proverb that says, not my circus, not my monkeys, which is kind of good. But it is a way you're just saying, you know what, that's not for me. I'm not going to deal with that. There is a help, though, when it comes to like our children. Because even actually adults do this as well. But for example, students will say, I need a pencil. And the best response is, and? And how are you going to solve that problem? It's actually a good thing to do for kids. Like, my toy is broken. Don't mean you don't have to be a jerk about it, but helping students, your kids, any kids, grandkids, whatever, say, I'm so sorry. What are you going to do about it? And that's healthy and helpful because that helps them to start being problem solvers. And speaking of Mike, I was so proud of him one day. He called me and says, Dad, I fixed the dryer. Ooh. We've tried to instill that in them to, you know, dryers are really pretty easy. But he goes, yeah, it wasn't spinning. And we opened it up, and we saw this belt in a knot, and we figured that was the problem. And it's like, wow, that's great, you know, just solving problems. But we saw last week the idea of forgiveness. When someone wrongs us, that was what they did. That was their problem. But guess what? We're going to turn the tables on that today. And now we got to think of ourselves. Now it's your problem. Now it's my problem. And so how do we own our own problems when it comes to issues, to be reconciled. It is the something that we have to do for being in any kind of relationship. Even the best relationships are going to have time. The best of friends, the closest of siblings, the best of marriages, they're all going to have times where at one point, you know what? You're going to bug each other. You're going to maybe even possibly offend each other. So there are some principles that Jesus lays down to not only offer forgiveness, but own our own problem, own our own part. So let's look at Matthew 5, and we'll read it and then give some background on it. And then hopefully some practical things as well to restore relationships or reconcile. Jesus said, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, or your sister, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So, classic passage called the Sermon on the Mount, and it's called that because he was on a mountain and he preached. And so that's as deep as that gets. But it is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those three chapters. At the end of those chapters is where you read the expression, He taught as one with authority and not as their scribes. And so, you know, back then, and we do it too, is someone will quote this authority or that authority, right? Find out what to do with COVID. You can go on the internet and you could find all kinds of different opinions. This one says that, this other one says this. Jesus, though, had authority. Just when he spoke, people said, there is something about him. And we have his words for us. We can see they are the living word of God. And so that section, that instruction is part of that message, part of that sermon. And he divides that sermon in a couple sub-sermons. And this is called the, you've heard it was said, but I say to you part. And he would quote maybe something from the Old Testament that's been misapplied, or he would quote a man-made teaching, says, you know, you've heard this, but I say this. And so this is part of it. And he's talking specifically about being angry with your brother or sister and calling them names and so forth. And he says, you've heard it said, if you're angry with your brother, you're going to, you know, that's really bad. You're going to be guilty of that. But he says, if you hate your brother and sister, you've killed them in your heart. Whoa. So it's a higher standard. It's a heart issue. And he gets to the heart on all of those particular topics that he gets into. You could read more of Matthew 5 for that. But here he has several commands. The first one is leave your gift. Now, he's talking about times of worship. For them, there was a time where they were going to give a particular sacrifice or offering as part of their worship to God as Jewish people. But the context is worship. It says you're doing something as a sacrifice, as a worshipful activity. And that is not just what we're doing now on a Sunday morning. We could be worshiping throughout the week. It could apply to offering money or praise or giving someone time, praying, celebrating the Lord's table. All those are examples of acts of worship. And so I think we can very fairly apply these principles to those as well. And he says, look, you have two conditions. One, you're worshiping. That's condition number one. Condition number two, he says, you remember, someone has something against you. It's your problem. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're guilty. In fact, Jesus is very vague here. He uses the word something. Something. It could be anything. He's not saying it's necessarily your fault, but something. It's nonspecific. I think it's on purpose. You're in the middle of worshiping, and this thought, oh yeah, that's a problem I need to deal with. So those are the two conditions. And it says, when you meet these two conditions, you're worshiping and you get that realization. It says, go. Lay your offering down. You are trying to meet an obligation to God, but you remember this offense. So he says, leave your gift there and go. It's, again, no assignment for blame, but say, look, deal with your part of the problem. They may or may not admit their fault in it, but that's not who he's talking to. He's talking to us who say, yeah, I got something here myself. And then he says, look, the first thing you need to do is to be reconciled. Be reconciled with them. Break off your worship. Now, I've seen people do this in a worship service, or the point really, at the very least, is saying, I need to take care of this as soon as possible. And it has the idea of it is urgent. And we shouldn't bring contempt saying, you know what, that's their problem. If they just would get their act together, if they would just, and not thinking of our part of it. Our heart condition is more important than the duty of whatever it is we are sacrificing at the time. It is important to take care of and manage relationships. A couple quotes for you regarding this phrase, these commands Jesus said. Tyndale said, God does not want to receive offerings from Christians who are not at peace with one another. And then Ironside said, sin never dies of old age, but it becomes worse as time goes on. And we have to address these things in our lives. So how do we do that? How do we reconcile? It's important to remember, too, is let's say we do, we know, we get this idea, oh, I need to talk to them. I need to clear the air with them. It's not necessarily something that you should try to force. Look, we have a problem. Let's get together. That might do more harm than good. But at least setting the stage, allowing them to say, hey, I want to get right with you again. Let's kind of get the elephant out of the room and actually talk this through and reconcile. We can't force it, in other words. We can't force someone to reconcile with us. But we need to do all that we can whenever there's an issue. We have to identify our part. You know, it's always interesting when someone apologizes and they say, if I've offended you, that tends to fall flat. Just, you obviously did. Whether you think they should have been offended or not isn't the issue. They were. Avoid excuses, own it. Now, there's a group of a Christian group called Peacemakers, where they have worked with individual Christians and churches in bringing people together. And so they will go as far as, say, there's a dispute between believers. And we looked at 1 Corinthians, where they were bringing each other to court, again, you know, to non-believing judges and having them solve their problems. And Peacemakers, what they do is they say, look, we're brothers and sisters in Christ too. You bring your disputes to us and agree that we'll help mediate for you. So they have seven statements or seven A's. They all start with a letter A of confession of how to do this. First one is address everyone involved. And we'll have them, there they are. We have them all up for you. Address everyone involved. So all of those to whom you've affected or said or did something in the conflict. Try to, you know, be able to cover whoever, you know, whether you're dealing with a couple or a family and so forth. And then the second one is avoid if, but, and maybe. Try not to make excuses. Try not to make excuses. Just, yes, here's what I did. Sometimes there are reasons. Maybe you were late because you had a flat tire. It's not, you know, that's a reason. That's something that you couldn't be helped. But try not to make excuses using, you know, if you only, or but this happened, or maybe this. It just kind of deflates what we're trying to accomplish. The next thing is to admit specifically, and that includes attitudes and actions. I was in a very bad mood, and I shouldn't have said what I did. And I was feeling frustrated. Then we acknowledge the hurt. Express sorrow for hurting someone. This is something that is losing, that is fading in our culture, where people don't seem to care about the pain they caused in someone's life, even if it was an accident. I remember counseling some younger people where there was an injury on a basketball court, and it was an accident. And I said, don't you feel bad that you hurt them? And I said, no. And that's kind of growing in our culture, where people don't care, even something done accidentally. But we should feel some sorrow that something we did or didn't do caused harm. Accept the consequences. Okay, maybe some kind of restitution or paying back. I've told this story before. My dad always taught me, if you borrow someone's tools, you return them better. You borrow someone's car, make sure there's more gas in it than when they gave it to you. It's just what we did for that. I remember a good friend of mine, I broke his splitting maul. And my dad, without even a heartbeat, let's go get a new handle. Okay. It was because it could have, think of a dumb reason for there to be conflict, a handle on a splitting wall. But that's just what we do. Maybe we have to pay something back. It might be a dollar amount or time or fixing something, but accepting the consequences. Then we alter our behavior and we change our attitudes and our actions. Perhaps something we are struggling with, maybe of an addictive nature, and it's going to be very difficult, but it says, look, I'm getting help. I am doing my best not to do that to you again. And then finally say the words, and here they are. I'm sorry. How many? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? 6. Those can go a long way. It could also take time, and it could also be a process depending on the issue. Now, I will state a little qualification. If you're in a conflict with someone and you're trying to deal with your part, there may be, in fact, not maybe, there are sometimes situations where there is an unsafe situation. Maybe that person with whom you're dealing with is not someone you should be around for your own safety. If that is the case or you're not sure, then talk to someone else who you trust, who's objective. Say, hey, can you help me? Am I not wanting to talk to them because I just don't want to do it? Or maybe you're in a situation where they would even come with you and help you not to be in a safe situation. So just bring that third party in, but ideally avoid getting caught up in those exceptions. So Jesus says, once we do that, once we reconcile with someone, once we own up, then come back and offer our worship in a pure state. And if you think about the two greatest commandments, love God and love others, that's kind of what he's saying here, is you're doing both of them, you're obeying both of them at the same time. We could either obey both of those commandments or we could break both of those commandments, but you can't break just one. If you break one, you're breaking the other. If you're not loving God's creation, other people, then you're also not loving him. If you don't love God, then you really can't fully express that. So these instructions for reconciliation are obeying the top two commandments, which is pretty good when we think about it. All right, so we follow God's example with this. Think about God in heaven. He is the ultimate reconciler, isn't he? We were enemies. We were walking dead people. And God says, I want to reconcile with not just people in general, but individuals. Romans 5:1, Paul writes, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace, reconciliation with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And his reconciliation is offered. It's available for people to say, I need to be right with God again. But the difference with him is he didn't do anything against us. Now, we might have done something against someone, but he's innocent of that. But even he himself said, I want to be reconciled with you. He has sinned against no one, but he reaches out. He gave his son so that anyone might be able to come and be reconnected with him again. As he does this, why do people still resist his will? I don't know, except I was there too, and maybe you were as well. But he is making it available. Even when we were dead in our sins, even when we were enemies, even when we hated him, his reconciliation is out there and waiting. So we're following his example. The other question to ask for ourselves in light of this passage is to ask, you can do this maybe this week, write this out and be thinking and praying about that. Say, God, are you pleased with my worship? And as I said earlier, it's not just the Sunday morning times. It's any act where we're praying, whether we are singing, giving, acts of service, times of silence, private or corporately, whatever they might be, those are acts of worship. If God's not pleased and you remember something, then he doesn't like our worship. It's obnoxious or offensive to him. But we need to obey these top two commands, to love others and love him. We have to address our own critical spirits as well. He's not going to ask us, we're not going to say, well, this other person needs to do this, they need to, they should. Those may be true, but he's asking about our hearts. Make the call, write the letter, speak face to face, take it seriously. It's not something to blow off, because it's probably your problem too, and my problem, and we have to address it with that person. God may bring in your life a reconciliation that you never thought possible. God may not do that. But we have to do our part so that when we're worshiping, our hearts are right before him. And I was convicted. I was thinking of some individuals, I'm not going to name names, who were just as mean and nasty, who claimed to be brothers and sisters in Christ as could possibly be. And I thought, just almost said it out loud, never, never. It's not going to happen. Not with them. You know what? God convicted me on that and started to pray, saying, God, I don't know if I really want to be reconciled with them. But I know I did some things too. And it's slowly, slowly starting to crack. And who knows what's going to happen for their sake and for my sake, and for really all Zion's sakes too. But the impossible ones can indeed find reconciliation by God's power and his grace and his power to love him and love others. Let's look at our pause and pray time. Just a few things that, in light of this passage, we could be praying for. To praise God that we're welcome into his presence, first of all. When we're worshiping, we are in God's presence. When we are praying, he says, because of Christ, you can come in. You're now at peace with me. Come into his presence. And then we could pray for clean hearts. God, what part is my problem? What part is my problem that I might be clean before you to worship? And then commit to sacrifice with a pure heart, saying, I'm going to deal with this stuff. I'm going to make those phone calls. I'm going to talk to these people before more days go on. As we often do with pause and pray, just encourage you to, if you'd like to pray out loud, please do. If you don't want to, that's fine too. Pray quietly with us, and we will go as long as we need to. If it's quiet for a little bit, that's also fine. I will say with this particular topic, it's probably not a good thing to do to name names publicly. So please avoid that. Even my example I just told you, you don't need to know names. It's okay. I know who they are. God knows who they are. And so we will go from there. So let's take some time to respond to what we've seen from Jesus' command here to deal with our problems that people might have with us. God, I confess my attitude of, well, they should, or he should, or she should first. And that's not what you said here. That's not your instruction. When we are worshiping, we are praising you, and something comes to mind. Lord, I pray for the grace and the strength and the love that you have given me to be able to make right, to offer that reconciliation out there. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. You have modeled this. There is no guilt on you, yet you've modeled coming back, bringing us together with you. And even now, as we pray, we are in your presence, and you've brought us to you, for which we get no credit. We cannot point to ourselves and how good we are, because it's all on you. It's all what you've done for our sake, to justify us in the name of Christ and to stand in purity with you. What a gracious reconciler you are. And then you've taken peoples from different nations and tongues and philosophies and melded them together, as your word teaches, into one new people of God. And so we pray that you would, again, help us to model. We pray for those who are thinking of that one person now to whom we don't want to talk to, that we would offer this reconciliation to make it possible. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All righty. Well, I already mentioned the Easter invite cards. So again, those are back on the counter. And so you're welcome. If we need to get more, we'll get more over the next couple weeks. Also, the day before Easter, the 16th of April, we've mentioned that, and we should have cards for that. There's a poster back there for the trampoline park in Butler. If you want to invite some families, say, hey, come jump with us. It is free. It's 11 to 1. And food is extra. But then say, hey, and join us for Easter Sunday if they don't already have a church that they're part of. So that's available. I, at some point, in fact, if you could tell me, or better yet, send me an email, we need a rough count of who's jumping. All right? So if you're going but you're not jumping, that's okay. But we just need to know, hey, we got 4 kids coming, 6 or 10 or whatever it is, and they're going to be jumping until they throw up. So just let us know. And that way, when you go, if you see Ed or Nancy, they're going to be looking for Danny Lavon. She's our kind of, she coordinates and does a lot of things for us with children's ministry. But you may not know her, what she looks like. And so they'll be looking for her. So look for the Webbers. And when you find them, and you check in there. Okay? So that's the trampoline event. A couple other things. Actually, we're doing well on time here. Do you remember last year when we taught, Rule King did a church week event? They're doing it again, only it's church 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks that they're allowing. If you don't know what that is, it's from April 7th to 20th. So what's today? The 3rd? So 4 days. If you purchase anything at Rule King, then they will give, I think it's 10% back from your receipt. You have to go online. If you have trouble with that, bring it and we'll take care of it. Please don't go special there to shop for something. But Trish and I, you know, she wants to stock up on sunflower, black oil sunflower seeds, which is, by the way, really expensive. But she's got to feed her birds. So we'll buy 2 or 3 bags while we're, you know, just waiting and stock up for that, and just waiting for the 7th, and then we'll go online. They gave us, it was like $200 last year. We have kind of a project in mind, but I don't want to say anything yet because I'm not sure. So I don't want to go back on that. April 7th through 20th, Rule King, if there's something that you normally would buy, maybe go there. They are supportive of Christian groups and nonprofits. That's what it's for. It's called Church Week. So we appreciate that, and then we'll benefit from it. Finally, on Tuesday morning, we're offering this up to all the guys at 5:30 in the morning. We're going to be here, and they have one agenda item, and it's pray. And so we will not just give our requests, but times of praise, scripture-based prayer together. If you need to leave, you know, before, after, whenever, you know, earlier, before we're done, that's fine. But men, I just want to challenge you, but join us on Tuesday mornings, 5:30. And if you're not a guy and you think, well, what about us, ladies? I don't have an answer for you now, okay? But if there are some ladies who say, we want to get together, we want to get together and pray as ladies of Zion, and we could set up a time and opportunity for you as well to do that. But that's it, is we are going into the very presence of God and spending some time in worshipful, Bible-based praying together. And guys, if you could be here, we'll be here. If it's just me, I'll be doing that. Or if there are 15, 20 of us, that's what we'll do for that time. 5:30, yeah, a.m. And then a lot of guys are going to work right after that. Okay? Let's